Welcome back to another episode of HoloChat. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Bobby. And welcome to the last HoloChat episode of this season. Mm-hmm. There's going to be one more imitation episode, and then we're going to go on a break until August. Summer vacation.
Which is good timing, because we're pretty sure that comeback announcement is going to be like today, tomorrow.
I do feel that... I'm kind of feeling that the comeback announcement might be today. And now there's thunder. Okay. There's going to be a lot of audio issues today because I am having a thunderstorm.
Well, we had a lot of audio issues last time, which I'm sure everyone noticed. I think I left in the part of the episode where I said that Jeff started mowing his lawn.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. We had audio issues last time thanks to Jeff. Mm-hmm. The audio was wild. There was nothing I could do about it. It was all on my side. It's because Jeff hates this podcast. And so.
Secret auntie.
So we apologize for the pretty trash audio in like the last 20 minutes of that podcast. Hopefully today you just have, you know, the normal dogs barking, thunder, general us turning away from our mics while we look at books. You know, just the normal.
But it's like they're here with us. Uh-huh. Isn't that what we want? Uh-huh. To just feel like we're sitting around chatting about stuff. So speaking of being with us, I need to talk about the movie.
Good.
I need to just get right into it.
Okay. Right. Go ahead.
So Wednesday, I went twice. I went Wednesday and I went Saturday.
I regret not going twice. I think you're really lucky.
The Wednesday crowd was very fun. So, of course, it was late at night. I mean, not late at night. Was it like 7? Nightmare trying to get to the place because Atlanta, I don't know if you know, but we have pretty terrible traffic. So I had to fight all of the terrible traffic to try to get to the mall where the thing was. And I got there like 30 minutes early. So I was just like, well, I'll just go in and sit and read my book. So I, you know, went in, sat. Crowd was great. They were fun. They, a lot of light sticks, but like nobody turned them on, which is good.
Yeah.
Nobody was on their phones. Don't turn
your light stick on. That's crazy. You just bring it.
Yeah. I didn't have mine. I was like, I just can't. I can't have another thing. I can't add that to my plate right now. So nobody was on their phones. People were enthusiastic, but they weren't super loud. Some people were like singing along. Some of us were doing fan chants. We did Break the Wall and we did S-O-N-G-M-I-N-G. Gonna know it's over. They were great. Saturday, I have a complaint. So I get there. Saturday was a completely different crowd. It felt like a lot of people being dragged into the movie theater that weren't really like super into it. So
it
a lot of like husbands.
Your movie was late because I had already seen it and you were like texting that you were like at the theater or at the mall walking around. And I was like, why is her movie so
late?
Mine
was at 4:30.
Yeah, mine was at noon, 12:30. Oh, yeah. And there was only, like, that was the only time it was showing out here, 12:30. Like, that
was ours was 4:30, and I thought it was 4, which was why I got to the mall so early. It was like, well, I've got all this time to, like, walk around. So I won't get into my expensive chocolate milk, because I accidentally ordered a very expensive chocolate milk, because the man that I ordered from did not seem to understand what I was ordering. So what he gave me was just a really delicious but very expensive iced chocolate milk with whipped cream. And I was like, well, this is not what I wanted, but it's good, so we're just going to let it ride. But anyway, so I get into the theater and the people, there's just a different vibe. There's a different vibe. A lot. So many people came in late. Like, I feel like half of the people showed up late. So they show up and they've got like their flashlights on looking for seats, which was really annoying. Then Cyberpunk. The lady sitting like a couple seats down whips out her phone and is just like on her phone for the entirety of Cyberpunk.
Oh, that's very different than what happened in our theater.
Right. And like, I was like super distracted every time she pulled out her phone, and then she like put it away, and then she pulled it out again, and then she put it away and then pulled it out again. And I'm like, every time my eye was just like, light, gotta look at it. Then the halfway, like about the time that I showed up to the live streaming concert, two the girls like who were sitting in the two seats to my left showed up, and the girl like right next to me was like, so how many songs have there been? And I was like 10. It's like, you're super late. And so, and then people, nobody did like the Break the Wall fan chant, and nobody did the S-O-N-G-M-I-N-G. So it was just kind of like people were just kind of whatever. But then people were like, but people did clap for Jong-o specifically. They clapped at the end of everything.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, well. But the Wednesday crowd were big Two-Ho stands. Oh. A lot of Two-Ho love.
Yeah.
And then Saturday was a lot of Sanghwa people. I feel like they all, like, decided to come at the same time. Yeah.
I only went on Saturday because I saw Psychers on Wednesday, which was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really upset because I did want to see it twice. And when I saw it on Saturday, and I was like, I can't believe that I don't get to see this again. This sucks. Like, I was really
disappointed. I thought
you
were going to go on Friday.
I was going to, but I was taking pictures for group orders, which has been my, like, whole life. Mm-hmm. Because there was, like, 22 group orders in this last batch, and there were, like, 90 mm-hmm. people, and it was so much stuff. And it was, like, the season's greetings were so big. Everyone's mm-hmm. about to get their season's greetings here, in the middle of the year, so you're welcome, everyone. Know that as upset as you are, I am also pretty upset. So mm-hmm. just, but yeah, so I just didn't, like, have time. I wanted to, but mm-hmm. if I did, I wouldn't have been able to finish doing the group orders. So I had to not. And thus, I didn't get to see it twice, and I only got to see it on Saturday, but it was a really great vibe. We saw mm-hmm. it at the more expensive showing, which might be why we didn't have many, like, casual fans mm-hmm. there. Like, everyone was there to see this show. We saw it with the X screen, which was like a 270 degree screen, so mm-hmm. it, like, wrapped around the side of the theaters. It was very fun and cool, and mm-hmm. sometimes I was worried that they wouldn't show Jung-ho when he hits his high note, but then he'd be over there on the side. Mm-hmm. So that was really great. We gave out freebies beforehand. Other people had freebies too. There was a mm-hmm. lot of clapping, a lot of cheering. There were people singing. When Jung-ho came on for everything, there was a ton of clapping.
Mm-hmm.
I was personally offended because the girl sitting next to me, you know, the whole time she was really, like, what's the word? Aroused. Okay. I know. You know, she was, like, you know, waving her face like, oh my God, you know, just like mm-hmm. doing that whole thing. And I was like, man, this isn't, like, a strip show.
Yeah, like, nobody's naked. Just chill. It's fine.
Like, if that was, like, girls dancing up there and guys were behaving like that, we would think that was really gross. So yeah. It's weird to me that these girls think that it's, like, totally okay for them to do that in public. Like, we are in public. I don't need to know how turned on you are right now. So
mm-hmm.
anyways, just get it together. Which was, but it was fine. Whatever. You know, she wasn't bothering me. Just mm-hmm. of note, she was doing that. Then Jung-ho comes on to sing everything. And she mm-hmm. does clap. But then she starts checking her phone. Mm. And I was like, girl, please. Because I, like, when Crazy Form started, I felt, like, really emotional. And then Say My Name came on, I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to cry during everything. Like, I am, like, really mm-hmm. emotional. And then, you know, I didn't get to have my cry because I was distracted by this girl next to me checking her phone during everything. So I was like, well, yeah. That sucked. Well, that's fine. I probably didn't need to cry publicly in a movie theater.
Like, probably not.
So it's fine. But yeah, it was super. I was telling Cassandra, like, it's not like I forget how good ATs are performing. Like, I never forget that. I know how good ATs are. I know how much I mm-hmm. love them. But it is like I forget how they make me feel when I watch them mm. perform. Because it came on and I was like, no, I'm actually having a religious experience. Like, mm-hmm. I am ascending. Jung-ho's high notes truly are my religion. And I, like, I'm just on a different plane of existence than I was 20 minutes ago. So mm-hmm. I just feel like, that's what I forget. Like, I forget the kind of, like, soaring, ascending feeling I feel when they perform. Mm-hmm. So when I left the theater and I was like, man, I can't watch it again. Like, that was really disappointing for me. Mm-hmm. I hope they do this all the time. Honestly, we've talked about how, like, maybe the camera work would be not great. I couldn't even tell you if it was great. It was just so nice to see them so big, so close. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so powerful. So
it was very powerful. The camera work was I was paying attention to the camera work because I did feel like I was just kind of bouncing around the whole time. Just the way that it is. This the way that the camera work is, the way that they did it. It was very energetic, and I think it matched the vibe of like the concert and everything. But it did make me feel like I could never quite figure out where I was supposed to be looking. And it was also hard because, like, you know, we'd be sitting there watching like Song was on screen, and then you could see, you know, like just over his shoulder, and I'm like, you know, you know detector. And it was very like you couldn't relax while you were watching it. This was not like a sit back and chill and relax. It was a oh shit, stuff is happening all over the place.
I mean, it was like being at the concert, like
when
I saw how good the, like, I always say that there's no bad view at an AT's concert, and that's so true, but it was like very cool to have this what felt like this good of a view of what was happening. It was so big, because I've watched their concerts on video before, like I have the DVDs, I've done the live streams, but the picture quality, the sound, like all of that stuff was just so much better than like I have a very large TV, but that doesn't help me for their shitty live streams, you know, like it makes it worse. So like this just felt so different. I hope they do this literally every concert, and if they had this showing more than one weekend, I would have gone. Like I would have continued to go. If they did it every weekend from now until I die, then I would go.
This would be
every,
like, my
weekend
ritual
that I was available.
It's like, I gotta go to church. Okay, I'm going.
I gotta go every Sunday.
I agree, because I talked about this last time, that this is such a good idea. We should always do this. We should do this with everything. We should do this with every fan meet. We should do this with every concert. I would always go. I would go for Zykers. I would go for like other groups that I enjoy. To me, it was like fully worth it. It was a great time. I had so much fun. I think the moment where I felt like I was just fully, completely immersed and overwhelmed and like, wow, this just hit so hard is Bouncy. There is something about the way that they come into Bouncy, like the little banter that they have with Woo Young and Yo Song, what they're talking about, like, oh, it'd be really bad if people don't get up and cheer this time. And Yo Song's, well, I think Sungwa's got something to say. And then the way it just like builds and keep going, I was like, that was such a like monstrous summer hit. It scratched an itch. And I'm like, I feel like I got that itch again, and I would love another Bouncy. And I know I've asked for like an anthem, and I feel like it's a little bit anthemic. I would go for, I feel like Bouncy's an anthem in its own way. But I just, it just cathartic. I think that's the word that I need. It's just so cathartic. And I need to talk about Jongo specifically in Fireworks. When he does that little growl.
I heard it too. I like looked around. I was like, did you all hear that? No one else is looking. They're all immersed in their own whatever.
I was like, oh, I love a Jungo growl. He doesn't do it nearly enough. We also got a wink in there somewhere. I love a Jungo wink. Normally we get one in answer. But he hit us with one. I forget where it was, though. But
well, there was so much to see and so much to remember. But
so much.
My favorite part of the concert, we talked about this after our like post-concert episodes, is the like Son dance break with BB Trippin, because I think BB Trippin's dance is so cool. And then it goes into This World, into Wake
Cyberpunk.
Up.
Oh, yeah, Wake Up.
It's Wake Up.
It's not Cyberpunk.
Yeah. So that like trio and... I love the dance that Son does, and also I think, like, I know everyone likes Wake Up because it's the sexy song. That's not why I like Wake Up. Okay, everyone, that's not why I like it. Like, I need y'all to listen to Jungho's high notes that he hits in Wake Up live. Like, they're just incredible. Like, that is a feat. That is, like, an Olympic master level. Like, it's just incredible. So that is my favorite part, and one of the things I really liked about the movie specifically is that I really got to see the BB Trippin dance break for like the first time. Like they were really close up and I really got to see it. And I was like, oh, wow, it's just as good as I imagined it would be when I was watching it from very far away. Because I feel like when we were at the concerts, they weren't very close on them. So I couldn't like see what they were doing. I could just see that they were doing something cool. But that is a dance break that deserves to have like a really close up. That was a really cool dance break.
And your BB Trippin' Boy was there for this one.
I know. My bias was there. So that was really exciting for me. And he had some good parts. Him and Jungho had some interactions. The Rose part was very good.
Yeah. For context, her BBT boy is, well, he was the bartender for Ariba.
He's the one with long hair. Usually wears it in a ponytail. I'm not normally a person who's like into long hair, but it works on him. I don't know. It works for me and works for me on him. I think he's great. I also just think he's a really good dancer. I like to watch him in the BB Trippin' dance practices. All of BB Trippin' is very good dancers. Like you can watch any of them, but something about him really speaks to me. But I have met him in person and I did tell him in person that I thought he did really good. So that was really nice for me. I didn't meet him. That sounds like we, you know, had some sort of engagement where we were. I passed him in a hallway. So now I'm sure this was not a moment for him, but, you know, foundational for me. I like, you know, I know ATs, like if I came up to ATs on the street and I was like, you did a really good job today, I really enjoyed it, I know that they would understand what I'm saying. I have no idea how familiar BB Trippin is with English. Like I have no idea. I have no idea if he knows what I said to him.
I hope he could just understand your tone. Like he
right,
could
like feel my vibes. He could feel the
this
excitement.
This is someone who is happy at me, so they're probably just saying like you did a good job or something.
Yeah. That's what's
or like
hope.
I love you. You know, it could be either one.
Marry me, please. So no, that was it was really I loved watching the concert, and after it was over, I did have this moment like where I got in like a really bad mood because it was over and I wasn't going to get to see it again.
I was so cheerful. I was cheerful Wednesday night. Like I was fully vibing. I was cheerful Thursday morning when I got to school.
Well, that's because you like, knew you had a Saturday show.
I know. I got to school and my principal like greets all the kids outside at the drop off, and which is also where I enter. And so he's like, oh, good morning. You know, how are you doing? I'm like, I am so great. He looked at me. He was like, OK. I was like, are you good? And he was like, I'm doing great. That's good to know. Like, just having a great time. And I'm like showing up and I'm like, hey, y'all, let's talk about some books today. And
it's
what's
almost
going
summer.
On?
Let's stop.
So yeah, I just had like the best, happiest, most cheerful vibe, and then I also felt good after yesterday when I was driving home. I got stuck in like a whole like traffic situation because there had been a wreck, and I was like, "This is cool. More time for me to listen to music. I'm doing great." So
well, I had like other things that upset me. This is not ATs related, but like. As I was in the theater, I got a text from my brother, and I checked it after the movie was done. And he was with my son watching him, and my brother told me that I had forgotten to order my son a yearbook and that my son was very upset about it.
Oh, no.
And so I had, like, the
Don't
really...
Don't they have extras?
They sold out.
Oh.
So I had, like, a really high of my religious experience and then was just, like, an immediate crash where I felt like the worst mom in the whole world. I felt super guilty. I felt really bad. Like, I'd ruined his life because that's what I do. Like, I really take it to the extremes. I have no in-between. So I was, you know, I was with other people and they were like, well, let's go eat. Let's have a nice time. And I was like, I don't give a fuck what we do. I'm hot. I'm going to go sit in the car. Y'all tell me where to drive my car to. Like, you know, just like a total bitch. And then I had to be like, I'm sorry. I'm in a bad mood about this yearbook. And then so we got to the restaurant and I ordered an alcoholic drink called the Great Escape because I was like, I need to escape. So I'm just going to do that. And then I got in a good mood again.
See, this is reminding me of when we went to the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
When y'all came to Atlanta. Like this is the, feels like the exact same scenario.
No, I'm pretty sure it's exactly that. I can be really, really mean when I'm in a bad mood. Not on purpose. I don't try to be. I usually try to turn my life around.
I mean, sometimes you just got to feel your feelings, you know?
And my feelings are so big, unfortunately. Anyways, so I got that drink in me, and then I was just sitting there, and I was like, what if I made a reel where it's just like a compilation of Jungho's high notes that I have from the last concert, and then like there's just like an overlay text on the reel that says, Jungho's high notes are my religion, comma, mm-hmm. actually. And then I just posted that. just so people can know. Just so that people can get it.
I mean, okay. You haven't said it enough, truly.
I just feel like
I hope everyone's enjoying the thunder ASMR on my end.
I'm sure they are.
Because it's a real storm out there right now.
And then I also had so I was like thinking about this reel, and I think I am going to do it. I was already like, you know, collecting clips. It takes me a while to collect mm-hmm. clips. And then I was like, what if I do win a fan call this comeback? And what if I talk to my Korean teacher and I have her teach me how to tell Jungho, mm-hmm. your high notes are my religion. and I think that could be a very fun moment for both of us.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think if I said it in English, I don't think he would know what I was talking about. But if I mm-hmm. learned how to say that in Korean, mm-hmm. then he would know.
Right. You need to go ahead and make your list of things, because we've got a running one right now. The first is Broadway. How do you feel about Broadway musicals? Mm-hmm. Specifically Phantom of the Opera. Mm-hmm. Please cover Phantom of the Opera. And now we have religious confessions.
I just think that, you know, that would be good for him to know that that's how powerful his high notes are, that they are my full religion. And when people insult his high notes, they are
stupid.
What's the right word? They are
infringing on your religious benefits.
Yes, or they religious are rights? Infringing on my benefit, my religious freedom, mm-hmm. my freedom of religion, my freedom to practice my religion. When you insult Jungho's high notes, you are infringing on my right to practice my religion as I see fit. So just remember that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like, you know, the legal-minded out there might disagree with that. Mm-mm.
I am legal-minded. I am a former lawyer.
I'm not going to argue with you because I don't want you to get mad at me.
I'll only get mad at you if you insult Jungho's high notes.
I would never do that. That would be crazy.
So then I'll never get mad.
I'm not trying to infringe on your religious rights. You believe what you want to believe. You worship the way you want to worship.
Listen, I know that the feeling that I get when Jungho sings his high notes is the same feeling of awe that a person who sits in church and believes in God gets. So who's to say that that's not my religion?
I mean, as a person who was raised in the church, that the feeling doesn't happen in the church regularly.
No, it doesn't.
It's a real hit or miss situation. So. Jungho is not a hit or miss situation. Jungho is a solid.
My religion's actually truer and deeper. Anyways, now that we've pissed off all the really religious people, shall we?
Sorry. Sorry.
You know, that's not me. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking metaphorically right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did want to address the fact that we very confidently last episode said that we would be watching the finale.
I did walk that back. I walked it back because I looked it up. I was like, okay, actually, it doesn't say that.
She did walk it back, but we did talk as if it was correct.
I do speak confidently when I speak.
Most we both speak time. Confidently when we speak, unfortunately. Uh-huh. And that's why people believe us and think we're really experts.
Right. We're not.
And we're not trying to be. So when we say stuff and it's very confident, just realize that that's just the way we speak. We're not trying to.
You know, it's giving, who's that stupid Kennedy who's in charge of the health in America?
Robert.
It's giving Robert Kennedy, the man who's in charge of the health of America, being like, I'm not an expert. Don't listen to me. Like, you stupid moron. Sorry. I'm not in politics corner. I'm just giving. Mm-hmm. I'm just giving a metaphor, a comparison.
Uh-huh. We're not experts.
But it's kind of giving that. But just be aware. We don't know what we're talking about usually ever.
You know, sometimes we'll like very confidently bring facts and then we'll still be wrong. So Should we talk about the email we got? We've never gotten an email before, so this is really exciting to me.
I feel like we should address the Twitter stupidity first before we get into our kingdom discussion.
Okay, Twitter stupidity.
Which is where this is going.
So are you ready? I'm still not on X, so I still don't know what's happening on Twitter. But the other day I went on Reddit because I was looking up a book thing, and I'm still subscribed to like K-pop Reddits. And so then I noticed that, you know, on my like front page, something said AT's San, and I like went there, and then I found out that San was in an AI scandal, and I was so mad. Not at San, because San deserves empathy and compassion. And I was so mad at AT&E. So here is what I got from the Reddit post. And you can fill it in because I know you did some, like, actual research and digging and facts. And I didn't. I just read a Reddit post.
Yeah. I sort of looked some things up. But then I was going to finish that up this morning. But then we had to move up the recording schedule. So I'm not as fully informed as I would like to be. But I've got a little something.
Okay. So I was on Reddit. And it said that San was on a lot or an interview or something. And he said that he used ChatGPT, he, like, talked to it sometimes, and that he used it, or it really helped him when he was, like, mourning his grandfather's death, and, like, he used it to talk to and help himself feel better. And AT&E's used this as, like, a social justice moment, which is crazy. Like, this, like, worried about the environment and the use of AI, and, like, if you're gonna use this as a social justice moment, the social justice moment is, oh my God, we need better health care for mental health care and more access to therapy, more access to tools where people feel safe to talk about their emotions to people. Like, we need to destigmatize health care or mental health issues. Like, that is the social justice moment. It is not AI is bad. San didn't come out and be like, you know, when we had to write the It's You song, I used AI to write my lyrics. Like, that's not that's not what happened. He said that he was going through a really rough time and he found a way out of that rough time. And instead of hearing that he was going through a rough time, AT&E heard the word AI and lost their minds. And that pissed me off a lot. And I am, like, super anti-AI. But, like, I'm anti-AI in a lot of spaces. I don't think that it is a good coping mechanism to use AI instead of real life relationships for this type of issue, but it is not one where I would stand up and be like, San, that was wrong. That was wrong of you. Like, I think it's more like, San, let's see if we can find some people that you feel safe to talk to. like that is, like, I would never come at it any other way except for, like, we need to get him help, like, real help.
I have so many thoughts and feelings and opinions about this. Here's the thing about Twitter is that people will go online, and the most important thing to be on Twitter is right.
Yes.
It's all the same thing. The way that AT&E's will jump on KQ for every little thing. I promise I'm bringing it around. I'm going to connect it all together. Don't you worry. So when I was watching the movie, the Towards the Light movie, every time they would show, like, an aerial view of the stage with, like, the boys dancing on the stage, I remember that one person who posted, I saw it on Instagram, where they could see, like, when they were on top of the like the trap doors on the stage, that they were a little bit wobbly, and got on this whole, like, KQ needs to take better care of the boys, they could have been seriously injured. And it's like, calm down. This happened, as far as we know, it hasn't happened more than once. It could have just been that one time. It could have been, like, an issue. It could have been maybe that's just the way that the stage works. Like,
it could be that they missed the mark. Like, that could be an AT's thing. Like, maybe they missed their mark and they were dancing in the wrong spot.
Right.
Like,
they weren't supposed to be in that one spot. Like, there are a thousand different explanations for this that aren't KQ as being negligent and putting the boys that make the money in some sort of risk. Like,
right.
It doesn't make any sense. But the way that people wanted to jump on that immediately and turn it into a thing, I'm like, this is the mentality. It's the same thing when Minky with that anime, and people immediately jumped on it and turned it into a thing because they wanted to be on the right side of history. Every time, you know, some Twitter rando comes out and tries to cry, you know, sexual assault, and it's like, okay, who are you even? Well, we need to believe victims. Okay, but who's the victim? Right. Like, that's the question we need to ask.
What if the victim is, you know,
somebody who's
in their basement and has never seen AT?
Right, yeah. like that. I still remember that random New Jeans stan who tried to say that Jong-ho, like, felt her up at a nightclub. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I just, it's just the way that everybody just wants to be right all the time. And it's not just an Atony thing. It is a people online thing. People are constantly wanting to be right. They're constantly wanting to argue. They're constantly wanting to, like, there are no shades of gray. It's all just black and white. It's all yes or no. It's all right or wrong. Like, there is no nuance anywhere on the internet. And, of course, in this situation, a lot of Atonies were not allowing for any nuance. Most of what I saw, most of the backlash that I saw was, we need to be kind to Son, but we need to educate him. And I hate that term. I hate saying that we need to educate people. I hate it. So this is coming from a teacher. My whole job is education. But the way that people use the term educate, like educate yourself, is always negative. It's always, always, what's the word I'm looking for? Like condescending.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm so smart and you need to be as smart as me, is always, always, always the vibe. Why can we not just say we need to teach him? We need to explain to him that this is a problem. The whole idea that we need to teach this grown man something because he's so sheltered that he doesn't understand is very wild to me. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Let me just also say that perhaps when someone is going through a mental health crisis and needs support and love, maybe that's not the time to come in with your, like, don't use ChatGPT. Like, you know, like, just maybe it's not the time.
We don't even know, like, the full context. I don't think that he told, like, the full story, because I think it's totally, like, yeah, we should be encouraging more interpersonal relationships. He needs to be reaching out to people that he can trust. He has so many people who are on his side, like, not fans. I'm talking about people in his life that he could reach out to. But a couple things. First of all, I feel like in Korean culture, that's like a thing. Like, you're not supposed to want to burden, quote unquote, other people with your problems. Like, and I'm saying this
here too.
Yeah.
Especially for men. It is very, like, that's a whole toxic masculinity thing. It's very hard for men to get help when they need it, especially if they don't have, like, a woman in their life. So, like, If all of your friends are men, and we, you know, as far as we know, we don't know that San has a significant other, it can be really hard.
Right. And I think, too, we don't know that this wasn't like he only did this when he woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't sleep, couldn't stop thinking about his grandfather and just wanted to talk about it. Like, I can fully understand, even somebody who's, like, well-adjusted mentally, not really struggling, you know, like, fully connected to other people, they're not going to want to, like, go wake somebody up at 3 a.m. and be like, I'm sorry, I just need to talk about my grandfather. Like, so we don't know. We don't even know the full context of, like, when exactly he did this or how often or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just, I mean, this is, like, one of the few times that I'm like, okay, I can understand the use of AI in this case.
And there are layers of issues with AI. One of the issues, to me, the worst issue is that it steals from people.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so if you're using AI, there's this girl whose stuff used to always be advertised for me on Instagram, and I thought it was so cute. And then I would read the description, and it was like, made with a combination of AI and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, she's kind of a bitch. I was like, I don't want to support that. Like, so, you know, an artist using AI, an artist using AI is very different than a person using AI for personal use. So, like, the top issue for me with AI is that it steals from artists. The second issue is that it allows people to not think for themselves. So we see this when we see, like, teachers saying, oh, I used AI to write that email to the parents. Like, no, you need to use your own words. Like, that's wrong. Like, you shouldn't be using something that someone else gave you like that. So that's, like, a second issue for me. And then the third issue is going to be the environmental impact. And the reason that's the third issue is because all this bullshit that we do online is a huge environmental impact.
Right. The way people are having these conversations on Twitter, I'm like,
what kind of servers do you think Twitter uses?
Yeah. Like every time you use a Google search function, you are using AI, whether you want to or not. Every time I search anything on Google, I get an AI summary at the top. I can't avoid it. I can't turn it off. Google won't let me, unless they will, and I just don't know.
And all of these companies are using AI for their algorithms. Those algorithms are AI too. So we're not, like, when you search up on YouTube, it's using AI to decide what else to show you. So you're, you know, AI is a tool that does have uses. We are all benefiting from some of those uses, but it has problematic areas too. And also it has an impact on the environment, you know, like, but so does me turning on YouTube and watching a YouTube video. Like,
right. So does literally everything that we do in a modern society. If you are driving your car to another place, you're having an impact on the environment. If you are buying clothes, this is a secondary argument that has come up. Like, I feel like on the heels of this, a lot of AT&T has been talking. Somebody on Twitter said, and nobody is allowed to buy concert outfits from Shein, Hong Jun said. And I was like, okay, listen, I don't buy clothes from Shein. I try very hard not to buy mass manufactured clothing. I know how to sew. I try to make all of my clothes, or I try to buy them secondhand. That's not always possible. Sometimes, like, you, plus, since Joann's, which was the only local fabric store that I had, or in like local, like, Notions and stuff, that's closed now. So that makes it very, very difficult. But also, I don't know what sort of labor practices have gone into the fabrics that I'm buying. I don't know what sort of labor practices have gone into the Notions that I'm buying. Like, here, we all have the stink of capitalism on us
at all times.
At all times, everything that we do contributes to a negative effect on the environment. That's just, it's the way that the system is set up. And for us to try to, like, fight against, like, try to put the blame for environmental impacts on individuals, like, try to make us, the civilians, try to deal with the environmental impacts. Meanwhile, the vast majority of the pollution and of the environmental destruction is coming from corporations, which we cannot escape. We're stuck. What are we supposed to do, you know?
And it's not, and, like, back to the context, like you said, there's no evidence that San said, yes, I wake up every morning and I spend 4 hours on ChatGPT, like, you know, like, he said that he used it to talk about his grandpa. He didn't say how much he used it. He didn't say the extent to his use. So when AT&T's told Wu Young to that he shouldn't be using AI to make those, like, art things, that was right. And Wu Young apologized, and that was it. That was the end of it. But if someone's like, man, I was having a really hard time about my grandpa, you know what I did? I got on ChatGPT, and actually it kind of helped. Like, you don't need to bring up AI here. you don't need to tell this person who just told you that they were struggling that, like, oh, well, that was the wrong thing for you to do. And it's like, oh, okay. Perhaps what you could say is, I hope you also have, like, friends you can talk to about that too, or, like, you know, next time maybe you can talk to your family or something. And what I will say, like, I know you said that they have a lot of people that around them and that they can trust, and that is true to an extent, but we have also seen that it is not true.
Right.
An idol doesn't know, like, they don't know who all at their company might one day sell them out.
Yeah.
And because we know that their phone numbers are for sale. We know that their schedules are for sale. We know these things get sold. So who do they trust? Who do they really, truly trust with something super important and personal? They have each other. But if you're working in this group and everyone has their own issues, do you want to be like, and by the way, also, please worry about me because I'm sadder than I'm letting you know. Like, you know, like, there's just so much to consider there. And anyone who had anything to say about educating San, about how San should do better, like, not the time, not the place, not the right philosophy. To me, those people are just awful. Like, have no compassion.
Right. And I just, you know, if y'all are going to go off on San about using AI for this reason, then I better not see you ever try to retweet that one video that they have with like the AI generated newswoman. Have you seen this? Mm-mm. Where that's that it's like it's a fake news show. You can tell because look at her face. Her face is weird. Look at what's going on in the background. It's weird. But it's this AI generated newswoman. And then it's like a bunch of clips of ATs. But it's supposed to look like a normal newscast talking about how great and impactful ATs is. That's an AI generated video, friends. Stop it. You know? That destroyed the environment. So stop spreading it around. Stop spreading around because Twitter it destroys the environment. Get off the internet because the internet destroys the environment. Mm-hmm. Also, so part of the research that I did, I was kind of going through like the comments of people who were arguing with each other.
Yeah.
And there was this one account that was like an adult. So I was like, okay, let's see what this person is saying. And they had retweeted, somebody said that AI is destroying the Congo specifically. And I was like AI is destroying African culture. So I was like, all right.
Okay.
This is not a thing that I've heard before. So I try to dig into it and I see that there is like an AI data center sort of thing, like a research center being built in the Congo or Congo. I think it's not the Congo anymore. So in Congo, I don't know. But it is being built in partnership with the UN. It's part of the, it's like a UN thing. And it's also linked to like a university. So it is supposed to be studying AI, like the usages of AI. So it's not like a data center, which so I was wrong, confidently wrong again. And I was like, okay, so I know that like this is a thing, people like going into Africa and kind of taking advantage of the people there. Like I know that that's like a thing that happens, but I'm looking into this and I'm like, I'm not seeing how this is like enslaving people from Congo. I'm not understanding that. I'm not seeing, like, I'm reading articles about this from reliable sources and I'm like, I'm not seeing where this person's getting this. And so I go into the person that had tweeted that and I'm like reading that thread and people are like, can you explain? And they just refuse to explain.
No.
And I'm like, okay. But I did find while I was doing this research, I found that there was an article on NPR about how the use of the, about how the companies that make rechargeable batteries are taking advantage of people in Congo. So I'm like, oh, that's all of us. That's that's every phone battery. That's every iPad battery. That's every computer battery.
We also use rechargeable batteries in our home instead of normal batteries. So
that's me. Like, but it's like, once again, it's the companies. Like,
right. Like, what are we to do to engage in this modern environment? Like, you know, the only safe thing to do is to disengage.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of pick your battles. And I'm just maintain that if you are on Elon Musk's Twitter, you are using Grok. You are supporting a man who actively supports and mines Bitcoin and lobbies for it. You are lining his pockets by being on Twitter. I don't need to hear your shitty take about educating San about AI.
Yeah.
So, and the environment. So that's my line in the sand. Like, I agree. AI is bad for the environment. And that's one of the reasons we shouldn't use it. But I'm not going to, if that's your only complaint about a man who is going through a time and used it once, twice, we don't know how many times.
However many times.
Like, if that's your one complaint that it's bad for the environment and you're going to make that complaint on Elon Musk's Twitter, I just don't care. I think you're crazy.
Sorry, your opinion is just not valid to me right now. And that's just the end of it. So that was
Bitch Corner.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, I've got more in that corner. Do you want to stay in this corner for just a second more?
Yeah, I'm having fun in this corner. I hope you all are. We had the No Bummer special last time where we got into pretty big bummers. And
but we were smiling while we did it, so it was fine. Okay, so I do want to talk about, since we talked about the movie, we got to talk about the teaser. We need to talk about the backlash from the teaser.
Let's
get into it.
Actually loved this backlash because I'm really petty. And so is Eden.
Yeah. Well, I say either he's very petty or he's very pure. I don't know which, but I think both are good options. So let's talk about it. So at the end, if you went to the movie, you saw that there is a Golden Hour 3 teaser. You're welcome, everyone. That was from me. That was from me. I do have it on record that I called it. So
And you're I think the teaser is great.
Right. So if you have been paying attention, when the teaser dropped, it dropped, of course, in Korea first, like mm-hmm. I said, and spread around social media. The teaser uses a sample.
Mm-hmm.
It uses a sample that Stray Kids apparently also use in their song, Fam.
I love this so much.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'm just going to be so toxic right now. It is so fun when Stays act foolish. It's fun when any fandom acts foolish. Mm-hmm. But given our, and this kind of goes back to Kingdom, which is coming up in a second. But given our history, mm-hmm. it's just a little, it's a little extra delicious mm-hmm. when they act foolish. And it's like, okay, what is
my
wrong with you?
My understanding is that 18E Twitters were really going through 18E Twitters. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying. The people, yeah. the 18Es on Twitter were going through it. But I am not on Twitter, so I was not going through
it. She was just having a good time.
I just thought this was really delightful.
Well, I don't know that you know where it went. It went in some directions, which I'm going to get into. But anyway, so Stays on Twitter immediately started crying plagiarism, mm-hmm. which, listen, Antonys also love to cry plagiarism. We do it a lot. Sometimes it's legitimate, and sometimes I don't think that it is legitimate. And Antonys, for the record, has been plagiarized. They yeah. have been more than once. It's uh-huh. happened quite a few times. It just is what it is. I'm sorry. I've got eyes. I've got ears. I can see it. I can hear it. I'm going to call it the way that I see and hear it. Uh-huh. So they have been plagiarized. So, but Antonys sometimes do want to cry plagiarism. They do mm-hmm. want to cry, oh, you're copying us. And I think that has just, you know, it's kind of a boy who cried wolf situation. Sometimes there was a wolf. There was a wolf sometimes. So like, mm-hmm. it's not the same thing, right? Anyway, Stays start crying plagiarism. Antonys fight back like, hello, sample. And then mm-hmm. Antonys go and they find the sample. They're like, here it is from, like, I don't know when it was from, like mid-2000s, mid-2010s, this sample that was used. And the Stays are like, oh, but they're using it in the exact same way that Stray Kids did, like back and forth. This, of course, as it always does, gets into Stays calling Mingi and Woo Young specifically pedophiles, you know, because those two things have a lot to do with each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because this is what they do. They just go and they drag up things that are old, that have already been discussed to death, that have already been, like, disproven. But they're, you know, because that's just the way fan wars go. So that mm-hmm. was going around for a long while. They also were making fun of San, because they always do. And then people like, well, you start. And then the fingers point, you're the one that started it. No, you started it. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, clearly this was started by Stays. I'm sorry. That's...
historically, it's not like 18E said that.
It's not that, like we were the ones copied. Like, oh, this is the same Stray Kids song. Gun to my head, I couldn't have told you that this was from a Stray Kids song. Like, I couldn't have done it.
Well, if I admit this on the podcast, people will know how petty I am. So perhaps it's time. Perhaps it's time for me to come clean. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to Stray Kids. I don't have a problem with their members. I don't have a problem with the people I know who are Stays, but I am petty about what happened during Kingdom. And I don't think that I, well, I don't think, I know that I do not want to give Stray Kids my streams. And I also know that Spotify loves to turn on Stray Kids after an 80s song finishes, regardless of if I want it to or not. Mm-hmm. And I also don't like Stray Kids music very much. Like, that's true. Like, I've listened to it and it doesn't hit for me. I don't like it. And that's not mm-hmm. Stray Kids' fault. We don't, you know, it doesn't mean I hate them. I just don't mm-hmm. like their music. And that's mm-hmm. fine. Other people do. Mm-hmm. So the point is that I have them blocked on Spotify. So I truly could not have told you that this is a sample of a Stray Kids song. And when this all happened, I had to go and unblock them so that I could listen to the song. But then mm-hmm. I didn't like it so much that I was like, no, I'm not going to listen to this. So I still didn't hear the sample. Mm-hmm. And I just turned it off. And then I reblocked them. So mm-hmm. that was my saga with this song. I don't know. Maybe it should be cut. Perhaps the people don't need to know that I have Stray Kids blocked.
Anyway, so where it goes is that Stray Kids is apparently having Japan concerts right now. Didn't know that. Couldn't have told you that. But they are.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps those are done now. But apparently... not long after this kind of went down on Twitter and was still going down on Twitter, went lasted for days, Stray Kids introduced themselves. I heard two different stories. I heard one that they sang Fam, even though it wasn't on the set list, which I'm like, okay, sure. And I also heard that they just used the lyrics of Fam to introduce themselves at the Japanese concert. And some people were saying they don't usually do this, and so Stray Kids are throwing shade at ATEEZ.
Okay.
And other people were saying, no, they always do this. ATEEZ are just making things up. Which, I don't know. I don't know what Stray Kids are doing at their concert. So
yeah,
but it was Stays who were saying, oh, they're throwing shade at ATEEZ. They, you know, doing the fingernail emoji that I hate. The, you know, like they were, from what I'm seeing, they were the ones, because ATEEZ wouldn't have known that they did that.
Yeah.
Stateenies would, but Stateenies are Stays. So
yeah.
The
teeny and Stateeny is almost always silent.
Yeah, almost always silent. But Stateenies wouldn't have known that. So Stays are the ones who had to have brought that to Twitter. And then some of them, not all of them, it's never all of them, but some of them were like, obviously this is Stray Kids throwing shade at ATEEZ for using the same sample. Okay, sure.
The sample in Dancing like Butterfly Wings. It's in like 7 different K-pop songs. Like, samples get used. I don't know. But I love this idea. I love this idea of Eden having a sample that's also in a Stray Kids song because, again, I'm petty. So I like the idea that he heard that and he's like, well, that's not going to stop me from my artistic vision. I have an idea for this song. And I love that. I love that for Eden. I love that. He's so... I think he can be both petty and pure. He's pure to his art. I love it.
But that's just the nature of a sample. Like, a sample gets passed around and reinvented all the time. Yeah. Like, that's just how the music industry works these days. Like, I feel like most songs have samples in them now.
Yeah.
So, It's just people just looking out for drama and trying to start shit because they don't have anything else to do in their lives. That's what's going on.
I feel pretty confident that Eden wouldn't have, like, I'm sure that Eden listens to all music that comes out, right? Like, it's his
job. I'm not so sure.
I think probably he does, because I remember when he assigned Hongjoong homework, he told him to listen to the top 40.
Yeah, top 40s.
So I am sure that he has his, like, I'm sure that he listens to at least most title tracks that come out. But this is a B-side, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I doubt that he, like, if I really truly think about it, this isn't how I like to think about it. I like to think of it in a more petty way. But, like, if I seriously sit down and think about it, I doubt that Eden remembered that this particular sample that he liked for this song was used on a Stray Kids B-side.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's just unlikely. He probably had the sample saved and was like, this will be good for this song. Like, even and I don't think that he, like, took the sample from their song. Like, you know, he probably just had this sample and he may have heard it and been like, oh yeah, that's the thing I like. And then it was just gone. Like, that's like,
I wonder if there's, like, a database of like, here's the sample and here's every song that has used this sample.
I'd be
very curious to know if, like, in the industry they've got something like that. I think it'd be interesting.
It would be interesting.
The last time we went through plagiarism accusations based on a sample was with Halazia. And the Enhypenstan. I don't know that it had a sample, but the Enhypenstans were claiming that the teaser of Halazia sounded just like an Enhypen song. I never heard it. Like, I listened to both of them and I was like, I don't hear it. It's not. But they were hearing something. So
the people online are saying that this current sample is from, oh my God, what is the artist's name? I thought it was so funny and now I can't remember it. Mr. Mustard. DJ Mustard. A DJ Mustard sample is who they're saying it's originally from. And I just think it's a lot funnier to call DJ Mustard Mr. Mustard. So I've been calling him Mr. Mustard. I just think that's really soothing. But
It was Mr. Mustard in the library with the candlestick.
His like tagline on his songs is mustard on that hoe. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
It's so funny. But he worked on the song that's like really famous right now. Not Like Us.
Oh, yeah.
He's apparently a very well-known, very famous, very prolific producer. So not Eden's fault that he made a great sample. I don't know. So
what do you want us to do?
This song's going to be a banger. I'm looking forward to the album. Hopefully it gets announced in 20 minutes.
I hope so. That would really just make my whole life, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of being petty, we got an email.
Well, it's a nice email.
Yeah, it is. But the pettiness comes in later. But we did get an email, which was very exciting.
It was very exciting. I've checked this email account pretty regularly, and we never get emails. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've gotten comments on Spotify. We got that one really bad review. Mm-hmm.
It was not a really bad review. It was an honest review. 2 out of 5 stars. It's, well, they had a bad time because they thought we were negging on Antony's. And like, what do you want me to do?
They weren't wrong. I'm just saying.
They weren't wrong.
So, and I had gotten this email a while ago, and I didn't open it because I actually thought that it was a spam, because it's the subject was confession and request. So I thought it was going to be like, confession, I made too many bras and now they need to be out of my mom's driveway, so 25% off. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. So I didn't open it, but I was like doing some stuff last night and I opened it. And it was very funny. They were apparently our Korean listener. It was never Maddox or Eden.
It was never Maddox. How sad.
What should I read parts of this email or just say what their request is?
Just say what their request is, I think.
Okay, so they say that they're a new 18-y and that they are kind of like catching up on the 80s lore. Mm-hmm. What a good place you found.
Right, yeah.
Two idiots. Two confident idiots. So they said that they have a request. As a new 18, I'm going to read the request. As a new 18-y, I always feel like I'm out of the loop when it comes to 80s history. I'm trying to catch up, but there's something I've been wondering about for a while. What exactly is Kingdom, and what in the hell happened there? It comes up a lot, both in online discussions and in your podcasts, but never actually what happened. So we feel like we've, as you know, the ants of 18-yville. Mm-hmm. Of Teeny Town. We feel like we've failed.
The aunties. In
the
fact,
the aunties. Mm-hmm. Yes, the auntinies. Mm-hmm. We failed a teeny by not doing a Kingdom retrospective. Mm-hmm. Because we've had this podcast for 2 seasons, and I think that's true, that all we've ever done is say, like, Kingdom happened, and Bobby said it was really bad, and I said, well, I had an okay time. And that's been the extent of our discussion. So we're going to answer some of those questions today, but I think we're talking about if Kingdom is still available on Viki. This season we did an imitation watch through. We were thinking maybe we can do a Kingdom watch through for next season.
Right.
And I think it is still available.
I'm just going to look it up right now.
That would be good. We should have looked it up before we started.
Well, I didn't think about it then.
But while she's looking at that, I want to, you know, I already emailed this person back and told them thank you for their email. But this was so exciting. Mm-hmm. So if you're out there and you want to email us, it was so exciting to get an email. So I just, you know, it's like when you get a letter, like, you know, all of my email inboxes are just like a million spam emails that I'm just like constantly deleting. So it was really nice to have like a real email. Our email address is holochatpodcast@gmail.com. So you can email us anytime and, you know, send us your requests and we can see what we can do. We are, I think Bobby mentioned at the start, this is our last episode for 2 months. We're going to go on a 2-month hiatus. And for sure, when we come back and we start talking again, we'll be talking about the comeback, like, you know, how it went. You won't get to hear our incredible thoughts during the comeback. I don't know. Maybe we'll do something. Maybe we'll do a special where we talk about the songs or something.
I have bad news.
It's not there?
It's not there anymore.
Oh, my God. Wow, that is a loss for the fandom.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not on YouTube either. Like, you can watch the performances on YouTube, but you can't watch... Oh, it's on Prime.
Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do hate Amazon and Jeff Bezos, but I'm confused.
Oh, it's also on Tubi.
It's on Tubi.
It's on Tubi.
All right. All
what right. an exciting development.
Kingdom retrospective coming. And if it's on Tubi, Tubi's free.
Oh, wait a second. What, they have Mtopia. That was Super M. Mm. They have BTS Global Takeover. They have P1H. What other K-pop stuff? They have Boys Over Flowers. They show M Countdown there.
Well, we're also talking about doing our Boys Over Flower retrospective as a Will It 80s.
Can so we many make... exciting things coming. Will we ever make any of them happen? Who can say?
The Kingdom one, yes. So let's tell our listener, a lot of people will probably already know this, but let's tell them what Kingdom was. So Kingdom was a competition show where they competed to get a prize. I don't think the prize was anything.
Okay. Can
bragging
I,
rights.
Can I? Because I was there at the time and you weren't there yet. Let me tell the beginning from my perspective.
But I'm just telling what it was. It was a competition show.
No,
you get
right,
the rest.
Yes. Okay.
You take it all my turn. Over from here.
Let me do it. Go. Okay. So I need to take you back to 2020. Go back to like November, December 2020 at the MAMA Awards. Mm. Which we hate, but our beef had not solidified then.
Mm-hmm. We hate MAMA because they never give ATs awards.
No. Mnet is garbage. So anyway, so at MAMA, we get a special performance, a special like little dance performance with Stray Kids Hyunjin, the boys Ju-Yeon, I think is his name.
I don't know anyone in the boys.
Okay, you're so useless to me right now.
I am absolutely useless.
Yeah, and then Son. So they do this little trio. And I had beef with this already because both Hyunjin and Ju-Yeon had like these grand entrances for this thing. Both of them like came in, like it started with Hyunjin, I think, and then Ju-Yeon came in. And then Son just like walks up and starts dancing with them. So he was in it a lot less than the other ones. And I was like, I don't like where
but
this is going.
But doesn't he have like a really pretty eye jewel?
He looks absolutely beautiful because this was when they were still doing Answer and I think it was Inception. They did Answer and Inception because those were the title tracks that had come out that year.
Listen, I'm going to just say this. I've seen the video and Son looks the best.
He does. We know this. That's just
so you know. It's fine that he got less time because he looks. If he got more, he would have totally stolen the show.
Listen, I'm being petty.
Telling your
this is the source of all of my pettiness. So you need to let me live in it. So anyway. So they do this like trio thing, and then at the end they're both like grabbing for a crown, and then we find out that actually all three of these groups are going to compete in a boy group competition show called Kingdom. It was the first boy group version of Mnet's super popular show Queendom that they had done the year before, pre-pandemic. Was majorly popular because Korea loves nothing more than a girl group. And so they were going to do a boy group version, but this is during the pandemic. That is very important context. I need you to really understand that. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have, for further context, this is right after Stray Kids have released God's Menu. And God's Menu, from what I understand, is the title track that really like launched them like into the stratosphere as being, you know, one of the top boy groups. Listen, I'm not so petty that I can't recognize that Stray Kids is one of the top boy groups that are active today. Like that's
I mean,
just,
I think that's outside a given. Of BTS, they are the top.
Yeah, group. I think it's them, you know, them, 17, maybe no, tailing 17, behind just a little bit. But like they are up there. Like they're like top tier, very popular, fully
they're
understand
They're more
popular
that. Than 80s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So like we know that. We're not.
we're not stupid. I mean, we are, but like, we're not, you know? So we find out and everyone's just, and this is in the pandemic. This is when we're not getting that many ATs opportunities. So this is like a big, big deal. Everyone's excited, you know? I'm sure there's some people who have reservations and are complaining about it, but I wasn't like in the fandom spaces yet. I was just sort of enjoying them on my own, which was actually a nice idyllic sort of time for me.
Yeah, take you back to that pasture.
Yeah. So, but this is very, very exciting, right? So then it's, there's, we're hit with some controversy immediately because we need three more groups. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear that Mnet is struggling to find other groups that want to compete on this show.
Mm-hmm.
We know for sure that they had asked Monsta X and Monsta X declined, and mm-hmm. that there was some fallout from that. Like, Monsta X wasn't allowed to like promote on Mnet shows, or they mm-hmm. couldn't go to Mama or something, you know, something stupid mm-hmm. like that. But they did eventually, they got Icon. They got B2B mm-hmm. and they got SF9.
And if you watch their like interviews, it's like one member of these groups convinced mm-hmm. the rest of them to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and it was a convince. Like, they didn't mm-hmm. want to.
Yeah. Which, you know, is pretty clear for reasons that will be revealed. At this point, it should be noted that Rowoon had not yet left SF9.
Right.
That B2B, Ilhoon obviously had been kicked out of the group ages ago because of drug issues. Uh-huh. I think it's Ilhoon. I think that's his name. But
I don't know.
What's his name? Oh my gosh. He's the one who played in Goblin. He was in the military. And
yes.
Mai Hyunsik was also in the military at
right.
the time.
There were only four members of B2B there.
Right.
And often one of them was sick. So really, there were only
yeah,
three.
Cheng Chen Sung, I think is his mm-hmm. name. He was sick.
I like a lot of his music.
Right.
And he was above Kingdom, you know, like he
B2B as a whole. I really appreciate, and I said this, I was into like YouTube commenting at this time because I'm like, I gotta talk to somebody. But so like you can actually go back and find some of my comments on some of these videos where I'm like, you know. But I do remember talking about how I really appreciated what B2B was bringing to the show because they mm-hmm. brought like a gravity and mm-hmm. a maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And like leadership to the show, mm-hmm. but also like they were just there to have a good time. Them yeah. and Icon were really just there for vibes, like for sure.
Also, Minhyuk, so handsome.
Love Minhyuk.
God, he is. I think he's the hottest man in K-pop, and I've said that for a long time.
He's crazy. Like, why is mm-hmm. he like that? How mm-hmm. does he exist like that? How does he bear the weight
handsome.
Of his own like? Gorgeousness. I don't get it.
It's incredible.
Right. So that's our first sort of controversy, is that Kingdom is having trouble
mm-hmm.
getting people to want to be on the show. There's mm-hmm. also a lot of pushback from like girl group stans who, I don't know why they are the way that they are, but they mm-hmm. were already like, well, this can never be as good as Queendom. And it's like, shut mm-hmm. up. Nobody cares. Let
and
us
they,
have our thing. Like you
they
know?
Had already had a boys' competition show.
Had
it was
they?
The
oh,
Road
they had had
Kingdom.
Road to Kingdom, which the
which
boys
the
had
boys
won.
Won. Mm-hmm. Like so, that was how they earned their spot on Kingdom.
Because mm-hmm.
You had to have at least one music show win to be on Kingdom.
Yeah, an Mnet music show win specifically. Mm-hmm.
And
which
ATEEZ
has won, literally just won, and that is the only one that they have. So,
and that's how they just snuck right in there.
I know. And ATEEZ were the babies. They were the yeah. maknaes of the competition show.
Yes.
So that is, I think, one of the reasons why we see some of the treatment that they get, because they were the mm-hmm. juniors. Mm-hmm. But the second controversy, after they've started filming, it gets revealed. So like, what the first challenge was, they were supposed to have like a budget, like they were supposed to put yeah. on a performance with a very limited budget, and that was what everybody knew about them, mm-hmm. that this was, and this is, we'd also had like the introductory stages at this point, I think. I don't mm-hmm. know, I don't remember, that doesn't matter. But they're the first show, they were supposed to have a budget for their thing. But then when Mnet releases the teasers, we can see that ATEEZ in particular has like this really grand production. Like, they've got
yeah.
set pieces, they've got like special effects, they've got like tons of backup dancers,
mm-hmm.
and so it starts going around that ATEEZ had been allowed to exceed their budget and that Mnet were favoring them,
right,
regardless of the fact that also Stray Kids and the boys also had exceeded the budget, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But then it gets, finally we learned that what actually happened was that there was a miscommunication with SF9, B2B and Icon.
Mm-hmm.
That they had decided to raise the budget, but they hadn't told, whoever was in charge of communication had not told those three groups that the budget had been increased. And so they show up with these very bare bones productions,
mm-hmm.
and these young, the fourth gen groups are like these big lavish productions.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, even after that, it's still, well, Mnet is favoring ATEEZ. So we start, that's where we start. We start with Mnet is favoring ATEEZ.
I want to be so clear that if you watch that show, and we will, because now I'm committed. ATs are sitting in what appears to be a broom closet during this show. Every other group on couches, a huge comfortable room. ATs in a broom closet.
Yeah, ATs, they had a very small dressing room. They also have them sitting on like these folding chairs, like just in a line.
For what has to be an incredibly long day. All the other groups have a couch. ATs are on folding chairs for, you know, probably 12, 15-hour days while they're there recording these.
Yeah, and this is also while they're doing fireworks promo. This is when, you know, Jung-ho, San, and Sang-hwa are filming Imitation. So there's, like, and they've talked about how difficult this time was for them, how busy they were, how they were,
and
like...
And not only have ATs talked about it, the producers have talked about it, too. Like, the producers talked about how hard it was, how they couldn't do that again. And just, like, you know, it was hard on all of the staff members all the way down the line.
Yeah, for sure. The fact that they're already having a tough time, and then they're going to this place and really being treated...
Not great.
Like, clearly behind the scenes, they're not being treated that well. Like, they're not being given any sort of respect. They're just sort of being shoved into this tiny little room on these uncomfortable chairs where you can see with your eyeballs that every other group have, like, couches, cushions, more space. So it was just kind of ridiculous. Like... For there to be accusations that Mnet is favoring them, I'm like, okay, then why are they treating them like, you know, the child they never wanted to adopt? Like, I don't understand.
And then we also have the thing that we'll get into more when we do this, because some behind the scenes stuff. We gotta stop recording soon because I got somewhere to be. So there was a lot of fan wars, and ATs were very specifically targeted in the same way we talked about last week about how the girl groups target ATs and tried to bring them down. ATs was targeted very similarly in Kingdom, just without like the bots doing the work.
The voting system that they set up, where you had to cast, you had to vote for three groups. So that was problem number one. You couldn't just vote for ATs. You had to vote for ATs plus other groups.
And if you don't want ATs to win, you can team up with other fandoms.
Which is what happened.
And all fandoms hated ATs.
Because ATs won the first round. They won the group voting and they won the judge voting for round one. And that
Which,
was
their stage deserved it.
Yeah, it really
stage,
it was great.
Their
it was,
stage was
it
the
was
best.
It was from the Wonder from the Wonderland from the New World
into the Wonderland
or whatever it's called in whatever it's called, the one where where Sang-hwa slays the Kraken. That's the stage that it was.
And Jung-ho hits the high note.
Right. It was crazy.
And the judges ascended. What were they to do?
I know. And I think, and I have a lot of feelings about that, but I'll save it for the full retrospective. But anyway, so the voting system, plus they get it, a winner of the gets announced before the fans do the voting.
Yeah.
So if you, and so if you know that this group has won the judges vote and the group vote, then you don't want them to win the fan vote. So other groups were teaming up and voting for anybody other than ATs. Because so you could,
like, they tried to really play it so that they were voting for the group they thought would get last. And I don't want to say they were voting for the worst group, because like none of them are bad. All of these stages are good. All of the groups are talented. But they were voting for the stage they thought would get last.
Right.
So that ATs would be pushed down when they averaged all the votes out.
Right. And if you have the biggest fandom, and I cannot stress enough that Stray Kids by this time had far and away a larger fandom than every other group. Icon benefited from being a YG group because Blackpink stans were wanting to vote for Icon, especially since they did get Lisa on for one of the episodes. So they benefited for that. They always won. They always got second for the streaming vote. ATs always got third. Stray Kids always got first for the streaming because that was 10% of the vote. I mean, 10% of the score. But anyway, so this system created a way for the largest fandom to be able to basically control everything like the votes of everybody else, because mm-hmm. it does, if you've got a teeny tiny little fandom, there's nothing you can do up against this bigger group. So a lot of people would vote for Stray Kids in mm-hmm. even though they didn't like want them to win, but because they already knew that they were going to be number one in fan voting, because they were every single time.
Yeah.
Because then they wouldn't have to elevate a second group on top mm-hmm. of ATs as well. Like, it was a lot of weird strategy. Some people were really gaming the system. But when we could finally...
I can tell you that every fandom had mm-hmm. at least another fandom they were working with, except for ATs.
Yeah.
And what was infuriating from a person... So I got into ATs during Kingdom. So mm-hmm. Kingdom is probably the only reason I became an AT-ee, because I got really invested in this show and them as a group. And I'm watching it, and I can see with my eyes. I came in with no knowledge of these other groups. Mm-hmm. I didn't come in as an AT-ee. I came in as a, I've heard of AT's songs. Let me check them out. And I could see with my eyes that they had the best stages. Mm-hmm. And then they lost all the time. And yeah. that really upset me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we watch through these 2B episodes, I'm sure we can really mm-hmm. get into that.
Right. So it was pretty clear that the voting was one of the things that was really holding them back. And then yeah. once they won, they also won the second round. And so then the other groups stopped voting for them because they were like, they can't keep winning, you know, because yeah. it is a competition show. So then... And it was clear that the voting was part of the problem, because once we got to like the final round, when you could only vote for one group, mm-hmm. which is what it should have been the entire time, mm-hmm. ATs scored a lot higher in the vote yeah. because nobody could vote against them. Like, nobody yeah. could vote other groups in front of them because you could only vote for your one group. I think they ended up getting like third in the fan vote at the end. Mm-hmm. It was something like that. But anyway, so it was just very frustrating. It was very frustrating seeing a lot of the rumors being spread around. This was when there was a rumor going around that Mnet like owned stock in KQ or something. And KQ had to release... Yeah. like a letter saying, actually, no, they don't. Yeah.
Like, it was such a bad rumor and so widely believed that KQ mm-hmm. had to make a statement. And KQ rarely makes statements.
Yeah.
Remember when Hong Jung wrote for that song and they were like, we don't have anything yeah. to say.
Our statement is we don't have a statement. Yeah. So, yeah, it was just, so that's just kind of a basic rundown. It was mm-hmm. just a lot of fandoms.
A Kingdom preview.
Yeah, people, everybody who was mad about AT's winning that first round, which was literally every other fandom,
yeah,
including the largest one that was in that competition, were really, they started targeting AT's from day one, and they'd been primed to target AT's because of the rumors that had been going around about them before the show mm-hmm. even started airing. So it was just a lot. And then, like, seeing the way that they were treated on the show and knowing uh-huh. how much they were going through behind the scenes.
And then having, like... watching them be treated awfully and then mm-hmm. having people be like, oh, well, Mnet's favoring them. It's like, what are you smoking? Yeah. We are all watching the same show, right? Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Anyways, we should get to our patron saints because I really do have to yeah. cut this mm-hmm. short. So that is our Kingdom preview. We are going to do the recap of Kingdom. I'm yeah. committed.
Rachel has decreed it, so we're going to do it.
It's going to happen. If I say we're going to do something, we're going to do it.
That is actually true. That's the whole reason we're here, actually, is because Rachel was like, let's do a podcast. And so we did.
Okay, so my patron saint this past week was Hong Jung, and he was a pretty good boy. I'm having a time, everyone. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to choose the big guns this week.
Mm.
I'm bringing them out. Mm. My patron saint for this week is Eden. I need mm-hmm. him. I need his comfort and his joy, and I feel like I'm going to get a comeback announcement, and so
We didn't get one today, though.
We didn't get one today.
I was wrong.
But I have to get one soon. So
KQ and then, says, we don't have to give you anything, is what KQ says.
We're just
going to
wake up one day, and that album's going to be out.
It's just going to be out already, and nobody gets to complain about concept photos because we didn't even get any. Maybe that's the new strat, is just, we'll just throw the album at him as a surprise.
I mean, good enough. So I don't know if I mentioned it, but in my head, Eden's Annie T's is Mito. So mm-hmm. Mito is my boy this week. I'm going to take Eden with me. I feel like I need his strength, power, and resolve.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Mine was Sanghwa last week. Mm. So what I did, what I thought was pretty fun was I all those bracelets freebies that I collected at the concerts last year, I have one for every boy and one for Aitani and one for Aiti. So I made myself a little bracelet stack with Tuho and Sanghwa and the Aiti's bracelet.
Oh, that's
so I'm like,
fun.
I should do a patron saint bracelet thing now.
Yeah.
But I am going to be bold because I think that I am confident that this week is going to be good.
Nice.
And so I'm going to pick San and let San be my patron saint in a good week.
Okay.
That's my plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think San can do it. He's due for a good week.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about the quick wrap-up, guys, but I've got to get to selling PCs at a local event, so...
She got to get them out of her house somehow.
It's so true.
Thank you for joining us for today's chat. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast.
You can find us on Blue Sky at Holochat Podcast or read more from our blog at ontini.com.
If you love books, you can also follow along with our spinoff podcast, Readers of the Lost Art.
We'll see you next time. Be the light.